Hello, I'm Olivia Shalabi, and you're listening to Not From Around Here on Wisconsin Public Radio, a special series of one-hour programs featuring interviews with international students in the Twin Ports. Not From Around Here features interviews with students studying at the University of Wisconsin Superior and the University of Minnesota Duluth. Students share their experiences about leaving home and why they chose to study in the U.S. and the Twin Ports. They also share stories about their encounters with people, both good and bad, and their thoughts on the current political climate towards foreigners. In the next half hour, we'll hear from Ana Isabel Rias Lam. She's a student from Guatemala pursuing a bachelor's degree in communications at the University of Wisconsin Superior.
It was a dream that I had since I was in eighth grade, if I'm not wrong. Yeah. When I was in eighth grade, I decided that I wanted to study away. I was not sure about the country yet, but I just knew that I wanted to.
What made you leave back home and move up here?
It is a mix of like experiences. Like I have had the opportunity to travel a lot with my parents since I was little. And I feel like one of the dreams that I had is just like to move and to live somewhere else. And I saw this opportunity of like studying away, and I felt that it was one of the best opportunities that I could take and the best opportunity to leave somewhere else and to experience a different culture.
So why didn't you study back home then?
It was just that desire to get something different, to get to know a different country, a different environment in general. And I saw the opportunity to just experience the world in a different way.
So what are your plans after graduation?
Being honest, I have no idea. I kind of know that I want to go to grad school, that's for sure. But lately, I've been hesitant to know if I want to do it right away after I graduate, or if I want to take a year just working and gaining more experience and trying to figure out a little bit more what I want to do with my career, and then focusing or getting a master's degree in something that I'm more interested in, not just like right away, where I'm just a little bit hesitant about what I want to do.
So tell me, how is an American degree valued back in Guatemala?
I've never really thought about it. How I see it, it's almost the same thing. However, it's more appreciated because like you have a different experience. You have a wider view of understanding of the world, and it gives you more opportunities in the fact that you have experienced the culture of another country. So the way I see it is that in the field, especially with like businesses that have international relations, like, or come from another country, that broad experience of experiencing another culture and experiencing things in a different way gains validity. Like it gives a lot of power to the degree here.
What was it like when you first moved up here?
Different. Completely different. I had no idea what I was expecting. Like, I have come to the United States before just for vacations with my family and stuff, but it was moving away from home, literally, not having my parents there anytime, like, all the time to help me and stuff. I knew that they will always be there supporting me, but I didn't have them close to me all the time anymore. As an experience, it was an experience of growth. Like, you learn to do things on your own. Like, you're on your own. You learn to be an adult in a certain way. Like, work and friends and to balance, to take your own decisions and basically manage yourself on your own.
How did you feel about it? Was it as you expected?
Yes. And no. Before coming here to the U.S., I had the experience of living in Spain for a few months. So I was kind of like, a lot of my expectations of being on my own or experiencing a different culture were kind of like changed already. But I feel like that first experience helped me to come here with less expectations and trying to enjoy more the moment or more the experience that I was going to have with my education, with like meeting new friends, meeting new people and working too. I was kind of just taken back by the flow, just trying to get used to it and take as much advantage and enjoy as much possible the whole ride or the whole situation.
So you didn't have any high expectations or any lower expectations of the U.S. until you came up here?
Yeah, I didn't.
What did you think of the people?
I liked it. I mean, if we refer ourselves just as for the U.S., like North American U.S. citizen, like people from here, I was expecting people to be more kind of like close-minded and more just like, I don't know, more proud, more reluctant to meeting new people from other countries, and especially because of the whole situation that's going, like the stigma against immigrants and things like that. Because I'm a Latina, I was just like, okay, what if like there's hatred, there's other type of that fear of like being not respected. But I had the opportunity to meet people that are really open-minded. Like I actually realized that people are really curious. They want to know, they want to experience, they want to even just a little bit, like they want to get to know your country through you. So it was a great opportunity for me to share my culture, share my experiences, and to make new friendships. And that's one of the things that I value the most of the whole experience.
Did you have any language barriers when you first came?
No. Maybe getting used to the whole slang part of English, like, I don't know, phrases that people say, or, I don't know, idioms of the area, we could say. Because sometimes when, I started learning English since I was very young. So I felt like coming here was just like to get actually like practicing like everything that I have started learning since I was really young. But the barrier that I found the most was just like, for example, I was talking with someone I didn't know and they were just like talk real fast or say something that I'm just like, okay, I'll just pretend that I understood what you're saying. I'll just nod my head and like continue the conversation with you. Yeah.
So what do you miss and what don't you miss about back home?
What I miss the most is my family. I've always been really close to my family, my grandma, like everyone, and not having them around or that close to me anymore has made me appreciate them even more. For example, with my mom, I was always just like, oh yeah, mom, like you're there and stuff. Like I gave it for granted. And now that I'm away, I'm just like, okay, I didn't call my mom today. Like I'm gonna call her. Like I really miss being in touch with them, with my siblings, like with everyone. And why I do not miss, in a certain way, the social environment. Because Guatemala, it is a beautiful country. Like, it's multicultural. It has beautiful sceneries, like nature and stuff. But lately, I'll say in the past 20, 25 years, it has become a very unsafe and very violent country. So in the city, in the area that where I live, yes, I am safe. But like, if you go on the street, like, there are a lot of like robberies and assaults and just like murders. Like there's that bad side of it that I do not miss. Like back home, I really feel insecure walking on the street. Like even if I'm with someone, I'm like, I'm afraid. Like, or if you go in your car, you're driving, like you cannot have your purse like outside because like you can be robbed or something. Like it's really unsafe in a certain way. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate from here.
Have you encountered any stereotypical comments based on your nationality since you came here? If yes, could you share some of them? And how did they make you feel? What did you do when you encountered the situation?
First of all, I need to make sure that the person knows that my country exists. Because, Guatemala is a very tiny country and we're neighbors with Mexico. So a lot of people have no idea where it is located or anything. And they're just like, where is that? So specifically of Guatemalans, like I have not, but there are like a lot of stereotypes against Latinos in general. For example, there was this one class where someone might comment about the way that Latinos were viewed, like in neighborhood or something, or the stereotypes that people have against Latinos because like they don't know them, like, oh, they're just like really just like general stereotypes. I cannot explain, but whenever I encounter like comments that are really denigrated or things that are just like assumptions that people made based on TV, based on just like posts on Facebook, and I know that's not true, it's really, really, really annoying. Because in a certain way, it kind of understands because that's what they've been exposed to. Like, they have not been exposed to the culture. They have not been exposed to, like, different ways of seeing. And they don't, sometimes they only have social media or TV to base their assumptions off. And I kind of understand, but at the same time, I'm just like really annoyed because like, yeah, you have social media and everything, but there's also like you can Google something else. Like you can try and learn more about the culture instead of just like assuming things based on TV or social media.
What do you like and what don't you like about the U.S.?
What I like is the diversity. Here I have had the opportunity to meet people from all over the world. And that's something that I'll never change. Like, I've met people from Asia, from Africa, from Europe, from South America, from everywhere. And that's something that I might have not had the opportunity to do back home, or at least that easily. And that's one of the things that I appreciate the most. What I do not like, sometimes the weather. It's like winter is really long and I really need my sun. Like, I need sun.
Would you say this experience has changed you? If so, how did it change you?
Yes, I will definitely say it has changed me in a way that I now see the world in a different way. Like, I have had the opportunity to meet people from almost all over the world, and just being able to compare my life and to compare our experiences with my friends, that's something that I really find valuable. And that's something that, like, in a certain way, adds to what I already know, or what adds to what I did understand about the world before. And also, like, the experience of being here, of working, of taking responsibility of my life, 100% basically, adds into my growing as a person, as a member of society. And that adds to the independence that maybe at home I would have not had the opportunity to develop as much. And just being here, like, I've grown in a way that I can actually do not explain. Like, I have challenged my ways of thinking, my ways of acting, my ways of understanding the world in general, like, even understanding my beliefs. Like, we have had with my friends, like, really, really deep conversations about religion and really politics and more. And just actually being able to criticize and to question those things help my beliefs become more stronger. But at the same time, sometimes it can be really challenging, which is like, why do I actually believe this or not? But I've found that most of the times it adds value to it. It helps me understand more who I am as a person.
Okay, so would you advise people to study abroad then?
I would.
Why?
Because it's an experience that you would never, like, get back home. Since I was 15 or 16, I've always been that person of, like, it's very curious about something else. I've always loved thinking about other countries to experience and to meet people from other countries, and just having the opportunity to do it. And so studying abroad is the best thing you can do, because, like, you're not just learning more about what interests you, like, in your major, but you also have the experience of meeting people from different cultures, from different countries, and to gain experience from them as well. Like, just interacting with one another, like, you gain friendships that are, like, yeah, sometimes they might be temporary, but sometimes, like, they can be the friends that will stay with you all your life, basically. And it's an amazing experience. Like, you grow in so many ways that it's just worth it.
Okay, so how often do you go back home?
I go back home whenever I have the chance. That means, like, every break. For until now, like, I have gone back home, it'll be 4 times now with this summer that's coming.
So you would say you go back home, like, twice a year?
Yeah, I go back home twice a year.
Why do you go back home twice a year?
Because I have the opportunity to do so, and because, like, I do miss my family and I need that. But as you come back and you get into your routine again and you learn more and you grow more as a person, it's more challenging to go back home. Because when you're here, you do you. Like, you just work, you just focus on yourself. And while you're doing that, you are changing, you are growing as a person. So with this new mindset, in a certain way, with this new lifestyle that you have created for yourself, you become very independent. When you go back home, you realize that things have not changed. Like, life continued without you. Like, yeah, you were not there, but, like, your every person that was there, your friends, your family, everyone continued their lives. And when you go back, like, they kind of expect you to act like as you were before, like, how they met you. But you have changed a lot. So getting used to the routine again it might be really difficult. Like, I have had, like, my mom sometimes they're just like, I know, like, I just need your patience. And I'm just like, this is like, I have changed so much. Like, that going back home, you realize how much you have changed and how much your understanding and your way of interacting in society has changed just by living abroad.
So is it hard to live between two worlds?
Yes, it is, in the way that there are two kind of like sections of society. Like, for me, it's my country where I was born, where I was raised, where I have my family, and I have, like, in a certain way, a big part of me. But here, it's where I am developing myself as a person, like, as a member of society, as a professional. I'm learning, I'm gaining experience, so I'm growing in a different way. It's kind of like having two lives, but at the end, as a person, you're the only one who can actually, like, make that connection between you, between both. So it is difficult because, like, in either place, they will completely understand you in a certain way. Because you have, like, both of you mixed in one single person. And I'll act different in my country of birth, and I will act different here. Not in a bad way, but it's just, like, I will respond to the environment differently.
Did you have any opportunities here that you wouldn't have had if you stayed back home?
Yes. One of the opportunities that I appreciate the most is just, like, being able to work on campus. I could have done it back home, too, in a university, but it would have been a completely different story. Because back home, like, student organizations and everything are not that popular. And my job here is I work in student involvement, so I'm kind of, like, overseeing student orgs and just, like, interacting with so many different sectors of the student body at the university. It's just, like, so exciting, and, like, I gain so much experience. You get to see many different perspectives and views on, like, how students live their life as a student here. Also, being able to interact that much with the community. Like, I have had the opportunity spring semester of 2016 of participating as a teacher assistant at the Making College Accessible, a robotics program for middle schoolers. And meeting and interacting with them is just, like, an experience that I'll never forget. Like, it was a really, really good one.
What did you do during your time there?
There's this professor that is in charge of a robotics program for these students. So what I used to do with them is just, like, help them with whatever they were doing and just, like, making sure that they were doing their job and stuff. So they were creating a robot out of Legos, and they were, like, programming it and everything. And it was really interesting. Like, there were so many different personalities in that room that was just, like, a really weird combination, just, like, with people and everything. But kids enjoyed it. And them enjoying it, like, it makes you enjoy it even more.
Were these middle schoolers or high schoolers?
Middle schoolers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's your goal from being here in the U.S.?
For now, it's just making as much of a good experience as I can make it be. I feel my goal right now is graduating, making my experience in college and taking every opportunity that I can to make it as good as it can be. Like internships or working or just anything like I could learn from.
You're listening to Not From Around Here, a special series of one-hour programs on Wisconsin Public Radio featuring interviews with international students in the Twin Ports. In the next half hour, we're speaking with Ana Isabel Riaslan, an international student from Guatemala pursuing a bachelor's degree in communications at UW Superior.
So what do you want to get out of this experience?
I want to see a change in myself. Like, apart from getting my degree, apart from, like, learning about the industry, apart from of just, like, learning content, I want to see a change in myself in a way that I have grown, in a way that I can see the world in a different way. I want it to be one of those experiences that you look back when you're, like, I don't know, 70 years old, and you're just, like, those years were just, like, amazing because of the people you met, because of like every single thing that you learned and that you enjoyed, most importantly. Because like if you do not enjoy, if you do not have the passion to do something, like why are you doing it? I mean, I understand sometimes it's just like because you have to do it for duty and else, but if you had the opportunity to enjoy as much what you do, it's the best thing that I can think of.
When you said learning about the industry, what industry did you mean?
Just in general about the system, like in a certain way, kind of like social media industry and just like the culture in general. Because I feel like lately we have become a society that focuses a lot in just consuming, just like very capitalist in a certain way. So I want to be able to criticize the system in which I live in as a member of society. I want to be able to differentiate like why I'm doing the things that I'm doing, like what path do I want to follow. If I'm doing this just because of the capital, am I doing this because like I feel like it is actually important for society and going to be of benefit not only for me but for someone else? That's one of the things that I really question myself every day, like how can I make things different in a way that I can help someone else feel different in a good way, to change their perspective of seeing the world, to actually enjoy in life and not just to focus on like, oh yeah, I want to do this because like, okay, I'll get money and like that'll be just amazing, right? I have had the opportunity to experience life in a way that I want everything to mean something to me, and I want that experience to be valuable, and I want to enjoy it. I want to be happy.
President Donald Trump issued executive orders this year temporarily barring citizens from Muslim-majority nations from entering the U.S. President Trump, right here on CNN at a rally in Nashville, said the orders are necessary for U.S. security.
So here's the statute, which they don't even want to quote when they overrule it. And it was put here for the security of our country. And this goes beyond me because there'll be other presidents. And we need this. And sometimes we need it very badly for security, security of our country. It says, now listen to easy, how easy this is. Whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or any class of aliens would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation, and for such period as he, you see, it wasn't politically correct because they should have said he or she. You know, today they'd say that. But that's all. Actually, that's the only mistake they made. As he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. In other words, if he thinks there's danger out there, he or she, whoever is president, can say, I'm sorry, folks, not now, please. We got enough problems.
So in your time here, two executive orders came and passed.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about the executive orders?
About immigration?
Mm-hmm.
I am afraid of them in a way that I just feel like we're dividing. It's trying to force that view of like us against them. Like we're perfect. They're not, kind of way.
Who's them?
Someone else, like someone different from kind of like people outside the U.S. in a certain way, okay? Immigrants, like people that are not from here. That's the way I see it. And I consider it shouldn't be like that. But at the same time, I kind of understand. I don't know. Being honest, I do not know like unto what extent it is valid or unto what extent it would improve the way things work here in the U.S. as how I have experienced it. Personally, I believe that to change the world for better, you have to experience all of it, not just be close-minded into what you believe. Because sometimes like challenging your beliefs and letting other people challenge you as who you are as a person will be the best change that you will ever experience, that you can do for a better change in yourself and your understanding of the world and your understanding of society in general. I, being a Latina, it's really complicated because, like, I know, like, the president has made comments about against immigrants of Latin America, and even though they're not as strong as immigrants from other parts of the world as he is referring, and what motivated him to do this ban, it was called a ban, basically, but it's an immigration, what?
Yeah, immigration reform. Ban, yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like if he is so against immigrants and Latinos being a big part of immigrants here in the U.S., that he will do something else for people from this side of the world, like Latin America. So it just makes you think, like, gives you that sense of insecurity of like, okay, he already did this, like, what else he can do? In a way.
Okay, so how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel safe or unsafe or neutral?
It makes me feel a little anxious of what could possibly happen. I talk to my dad a lot about this because, like, he's a lawyer and he's just like, oh, yeah, he kind of sometimes makes me get into sense of the situation. But even thinking about us, I am safe here because I have my student visa and I'm here, like, in a legal way and, like, different things. It just gives me that anxiety of, like, well, what if something about that changes? What if, like, my terms here, like, for example, modification of the visa process, like, changes and I lose my studying visa? Like, if that happens, what do I do? Because, like, I cannot transfer my credits back home. I cannot go somewhere else. Like, everything is here right now. So that leaves me in the limbo of, like, I'm 21 years old. Like, I cannot finish my degree because, like, I cannot go back to the university. What am I going to do with my life, right?
What do your friends and family think about this issue back home?
They don't pay attention. Well, some do, some others don't. I have not had the opportunity to talk that much about that with my friends. But my dad is just like, he basically just tries to calm me down. He's just like, okay, don't worry because, like, you're okay. You will be okay. And he does not go into more detail about it or anything. I feel like they're just really focused because there's always a lot of drama going in politics in my country. So they don't pay attention to what happens here.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking the time and speaking with me today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Not From Around Here, a special series of one-hour programs featuring interviews with international students in the Twin Ports. You just heard an interview with Ana Isabel Riaz Lam, a UWS student from Guatemala. Up next, we speak with Kotayana Gidani, a student from Japan who is pursuing a bachelor's degree in political science at UW Superior.
So my primary interest is peace study in the United States. So usually it is said that we should study peace study in English. And in Japan, of course, we have to study in Japanese. And also political science and politics and sociology or any other social sciences. United States is one of the leading countries to study these topics. So I imagine that would be great to study United States for these topics.
Okay, what made you leave home and come up here?
Okay, so, yeah, even when I was studying in Japan, I was studying in different, another prefectures, so different locations, live myself. So usually you want to be independent for studying and focusing on what I'm doing right now. And also, like, United States, I always had a kind of dream or imagination that it should be the one of the greatest place to spend my college life. So I always wanted to study United States. So that's because of my interest and want, yeah.
So is that like the prime reason that you didn't continue your education back home?
Yeah, I actually wanted to go to United States after graduation of my high school. But financial reasons and other stuff, I needed to stay and study in Japan. But after 2 years, I found the one scholarship program and I got offer from UWS. So that's the reason, actually, yeah.
Okay, what are your plans after graduation?
Well, I'm already accepted by graduate school in UK. So after graduating this school, I'm temporarily going back to Japan. And then from September, I'm planning to go to UK to study for 1 year and to graduate my master's school. Which is development studies. So this is like the stuff for the United Nations. So yeah, that's what I'm planning. And then I'm planning to work at United Nations after that.
Are you willing to share the name of the school that you're planning to go to?
Okay, actually there are two schools that I'm accepted and I'm still wondering which to go. One is University of Birmingham and the other is University of Sussex. Both of schools are popular for development studies.
What's University Middlesex?
University of Sussex. Okay. It's in Brighton.
How is an American degree valued back home?
I guess it's pretty stronger, I'd say, in a value than Japanese university degree. Well, it depends on, because some universities are really good in Japan. But basically, graduating from the United States means we can use English much better than students graduating from Japanese university.
Do you personally believe that?
I believe that. I mean, some students in the United States, they don't improve their English at all because of their lifestyle, or maybe they don't study English in a smart way. But for me, I got a lot of like skills or the ways of speaking English comparing to my study in Japanese university. So I got a lot, actually, by studying in the United States.
Okay, so let's go back and tell me, how was it like when you first came here?
How was it like? It was like, you know, I traveled a lot before. I already went over 20 countries. So when I came here for the first time, I just felt like I was traveling to the United States and just one place called Sperio. And it was just like I needed time to settle in. And, you know, I like nature. So when I saw Lake Sperio or other stuff, just it was countryside, but it was beautiful to me. Everything's so huge, like lake and road. Or even forest is so huge, and I was just enjoying the moment. And then get into the university life, college life, meeting with new international students, and everything is so different from Japanese university architecture or the education style. So, you know, everything was just fresh. So it was just exciting for me.
So was it as you expected?
Well, it was actually better than I expected. I thought it's really countryside. Of course, it's really countryside. It's called city, though. But for me, like, I thought it's just school. And, you know, just I just imagined it's just studying. But when I came here, there are a lot of, not many things to do, but just tiny little things to communicate with friends, especially from other countries and in the United States. These moments are really precious and joyful for me. So I actually imagined less than that, and it was actually better than that.
So you mentioned studying. Is that the lifestyle that you guys have back home? Like only studying or focusing more on studying than social life while you're getting your degree?
In Japan, usually it's opposite. People just doing part-time jobs, and they just attend school, sleep, and graduate. They can graduate. They don't have homework. They just go to class and talk to friend and spend time killing time, and then go out of classroom, go to job, a part-time job, earning money, and then graduate. So they don't actually get anything from study because they don't study. But for me, I had I had a big dream when I enrolling to university in Japan. I had a dream of world peace. So like, I was really enthusiastic to study, and I was ready for it. So usually Japanese students, most of the students, they just have a lifestyle of just working for part-time job and then sleeping in the class and graduate. But for me, I was studying all the time, yeah.
Okay, so tell me, what did you think about the people here when you first moved up here?
People from Wisconsin or United States? Domestic students?
Let's talk about the Americans first. When you came up here, the people from the region, what did you think of them? What did you think about them? Okay. And were they as you expected? Like, what were your expectations and how were they like, actually?
Okay. So my expectation was like, they're more friendly. And whatever I do, they just started talking to me and it never ends. That was my expectation. But it never happened. And I thought I just said hi and then there should be more conversation. That was my expectation as well, and it didn't happen. So every time I met a new American friend and talked to them, but yeah, so it was like, so just their characteristic personality, I thought they're more friendly, but just realized we are all individuals, and some students, they never met students from other countries, even people. So it was funny the time that they are friendly, but they just don't know how to communicate with people from other countries. Especially we don't speak the native English. Even if I'm good enough, but I'm still sound like person from overseas. So that's what I found, and it was interesting.
Okay, so tell me, did you face any language barrier, or if you did, like, how was it, you know, like, share with me your experience about the language barrier.
Oh, yeah, it's like, for understanding English and catching up classes, there's no problem. But, like, you know, my roommate is from Wisconsin, and we now share the house off campus. So we could say we are living, like, for 2 years now together, spending time together. And he has a strong accent. And for adapting in Wisconsin and Minnesota English, first time it was really hard to catch the words and how they use the words and vocabularies or slang. I needed to get used to it. So first years was actually hard for me to not to get a grade and not to study for school, but to communicate with domestic students. But thanks to my friend, my roommate, he's my best buddy. I just trained myself a lot, I guess. Now how I use English words and how I sometimes pronounce the English, it's really something like Wisconsin accent, and I'm pleased to get the skills. Yeah.
You're listening to Not From Around Here, a special series of 1 hour programs on Wisconsin Public Radio featuring interviews with international students in the Twin Ports. In the next half hour, we're speaking with Kotaya Nagidani, an international student from Japan who is pursuing a bachelor's degree in political science at UW Superior. Okay, so tell me, what do you and what don't you miss about back home?
Well, the only thing I miss is family, because my family is more tied together. We are close to each other, more than usual family, I believe. And especially my mom, because I leave my mom just too alone for a long time, because my parents are divorced and my brother already independent. So these things, she already supported me for whatever I do, even if it's expensive. But like, we actually from low-income family in Japan, so we don't have a lot of financial resources. So we are having a grant from government, Japanese government. So these things actually makes me more connected to my family and miss them. And the other thing, of course, food. Japanese food is brilliant. You should try it. And so food and family. But I don't miss, that's maybe friend. Of course, I love them, my friends. But just friend to friend, we always support each other and support our dreams, whatever happens. So distance doesn't matter for me to have friends, one thing. And people usually say Japanese lifestyle they miss a lot. But I don't miss, actually, because I think because I traveled a lot, I can easily get used to, get settled myself in another place. In that way, I already get used to American lifestyle, I guess. And it's more flexible because I travel a lot, so I easily can be flexible for my lifestyle. So now I don't miss any life, past life and lifestyle and how I spend time in country, in the time in Japan. I don't miss it anymore, yeah.
Okay, tell me, did you encounter any prejudice or stereotypical comments based on your nationality? And if yes, what were they and how did you feel about it, you know? And most importantly, did you do or didn't do anything to change it later on in time?
Okay. Yeah, I had a lot. Like, well, something is joke and something else is just maybe people are stupid. And in either way, I actually don't try to change. Because I'm actually more like a passive person. I'm not really aggressive to persuade people to change his own way or her own way. And yeah, for example, like, so I was drinking at a bar a month ago, I guess. And then the guy was really drunk and he said, "I'm sorry for my stupidity." But like, how could Jap could come here to study? And I was like that. He's pretty drunk, so I didn't care. He kept saying these kind of words, and
I'm sorry, he asked you, how can a Japanese, you mean?
Yeah, Jap is insulting word for Japanese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's from World War II's time, people calling Japanese people Jap, and which is like insulting word.
Okay.
So, yeah, like that. Or maybe yellow things, or typical, like, generally mentioning about Asians, like small or hairstyle or eye, or anything like that. I didn't have a, like, actually the specific situation or very offensive way of using these words. Like, they're not really offensive all the time. So I didn't have a lot of time to have a conflict with it. And because of it, I didn't try. But maybe if I had that kind of situation, very offensive and insulting situation, then maybe I try to change his or her mind.
What do you like and what don't you like about the U.S. and why?
What I like is, well, compared to Japan, it's very sometimes free. Like, for example, let's say car, you need to have insurance, and that's it. But in Japan, you need to care about the who you borrow your car. So if somebody drives, then the insurance doesn't apply to the car anymore. Well, it's really tiny little things, but a lot of rules existing.
In Japan or here?
In Japan.
Okay.
But here, just you need to get insurance on the car, and then everybody can drive. And just the insurance, then you can drive. And I don't know. There are a lot of free, I feel free to do here for whatever the reasons. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. But, like, that's one thing I like. And the other thing is just the way of communication is very friendly. We can just say, hey, what's up? Even if it doesn't happen if you don't know person in Japan. But I like it because that actually makes me more socializing and outgoing. And it's good. But one things I don't like is one thing, it's everything is huge. It's not really smart.
Sorry, what?
It's everything is huge, like big.
Okay.
And not smart. Like, car is big. People believe the bigger is better.
Oh, okay.
I think. That's my opinion. My roommate has a big truck, and I don't think that's smart because people think bigger is better because bigger is stronger, but actually it's not true. And let's say hamburger as well, the bigger burger is better, or eat more is better, being stronger is better, or something like that. But I don't feel like it's a smart way, especially for environment as well. So that's the thing I don't like. And one more thing is how to people communicate in front of people. In here, very American way, but they just show their best, or more than best, than their way of promoting sometimes. Yeah.
How has this experience changed you of traveling abroad or being, like, how did this experience change you?
How this experience of traveling abroad?
Of traveling abroad, of coming to the United States, like, share it with me. How have you changed since you came here? Or did you change, you know?
Yeah, okay. So I think when I came here, I was more like a dreamer. As I'm a student of political science and working on social issues like conflict and global warming, I'm more like a dreamer because I was just studying. And then maybe I kind of saw the reality of society. And I just realized I need to study more. And I need to have a more flexible and having more perspectives and knowledge, intellectual intelligence and skills, whatever, during my student's life. So that actually changed. I try to solve the problem before, which is impossible for now because I'm a student. But now I just realized I need to have more things to do right now. This time it actually changed, and also communication way, because I learned from other American students, and it's more like a universal way of communication, because we communicate a lot. Actually, I communicate a lot with international students as well, so usually I communicate in English but with a lot of people from many countries. In that way, I maybe kind of found the universal way of communication.
Okay, you said that you tried to solve some issues. What issues did you try to solve before?
Okay, the biggest one is a peace. So, like, conflict, violence, terrorism, whatever, conflict things. So, yeah, I was working on spreading the idea of International Peace Day every year when I was in Japan. And I traveled 14 countries and met people, attended the peace ceremony, and created a music video, a song of Imagine, and I was spreading in Facebook, YouTube, and also this university we showed in NYU. So in that way, I was actually very putting myself into the being active. so activity for social issues. But I was not good enough to do that, I think. Maybe it had some kind of impact to other students. At the same time, I was still sophomore and I still had a lot of things to study and just realized after spending time here. So after that, actually, I don't say I'm not going to be interested in doing activities anymore, but I became less active, less aggressive to do those activities because I need to train and improve myself before whatever I do. So.
Okay, so tell me, would you advise people to study abroad, and yes or no, why?
Oh, definitely, I do. Because, I mean, we can't live with having just one perspective, one way of life. And if you go abroad, everything is fresh and different from you and yourself and your everything you have. And everything will change what you need to change for get to the life there. Maybe here in the United States. And actually, I believe by being flexible and by knowing the multiple way of living and perspectives and unbiased way of living, people can be more smarter, and I'd say better for their own life, maybe their career as well. They can maybe pursue it more, and I'd say, yeah, so being flexible by studying abroad. That's the one thing really hard to get if I didn't come here, didn't go abroad. So definitely, yes.
Do you go back home often?
Once a year.
Yeah. And why do you go back home?
Just because I miss my family. And yeah, I care for them. So I just want to see them.
Tell me, is it hard living between two worlds?
I will say it's hard to live in two worlds, but also it's hard to live home as well for me, because everything is really comfortable and convenient, and just life goes so fast. But same time, I miss a lot if I live in Japan. Because everything is stable and everything is there and I don't miss anything. In that way, life is actually maybe perfect. But for me, I maybe get lazy and I don't get interested in many things that I gotta do, maybe for study, these things. So yeah, now I'm here. I miss them, of course. But same time, I can focus on what to do now. And I can separate doing these things. And I still can communicate with my family thanks to 21st century. And also I can focus on my things. But if I stay in home country, everything's mixed up. And then maybe it's kind of hard to find out what to do. So for me, it's better to have two worlds. But sometimes it's hard just because I miss them.
Do you have any opportunities here that you wouldn't have had back home, or vice versa? You know, would you have had chances back home that you wouldn't have had here?
Okay, snow. And, oh well, we have snow, but like twice a year. We're here like half a year, so it's pretty much different. And it's feet, it's pretty much a lot of snow. It's falling. It's just, I liked it first, but now I don't like it anymore. But I'm gonna miss it, I guess, in the future. The other thing is, I shot the gun, and it was fun. Although I'm peace activist, I'm against the war, but it was fun to shoot the gun. And they don't shoot people, of course, they don't shoot human, but they just shoot, like, turkeys or deers for hunting. And maybe the college lifestyle, living in dorm was first experience for me as well. And living in dorm actually special for me because every time you see other students and other friend, every moment. And it's maybe precious because once you graduate university, you're not going to have the opportunity a lot. So these things, I guess. And of course, using English for daily purpose. That is actually better for me. Because if I use Japanese, I won't be more outgoing. If I use English, then I'll be outgoing, socializing, and communicating more. So that's way different.
Yeah. How about education or real life experience? Have you got any here that you didn't get back home? Or or would you get more back home than you get here?
Yeah, I guess. People always condemn about the amount of homework, like I say. But my last university, they gave us a lot of homework, actually, because we had a lot of professors from other countries like UK, India, or Nepal. These scholars just give a lot of homework. So here, a lot, but I still can manage it. But the educational system itself, like this small campus, you can easily connect it with professors and you can be actually a friend. I sometimes go to dinner with professors. It didn't happen before. And so every time you can consult with them about your issues, that's actually great. And I think I like liberal arts. You have to take courses of literature or science, these things, history. Sometimes it's really boring, but it actually opens up your mind and you can get unique perspective. And for your major, it better works. So for example, like I've taken astronomy class and it's actually very useful for having deeper knowledge about social sciences, because it's about science as well. Yeah, I like liberal arts. But my last university in Japan was professional university. The only thing I studied was just international relations, politics, economy, and those things. And I didn't study about other courses like art or any other stuff. So, but I prefer this one.
So do you think that makes this university less professional?
Oh, I think it depends on students. Because you can be more professional by studying alone, self-study. But also the courses, 300 level, 400 level courses are very professional. But maybe you miss some basics because you don't have to take all of it. You can just pick some necessary classes. But if you study in professional universities, so like usually, like let's say my university, my last university, from freshman you have to take a course of political science. If you major political science, those are basics, political philosophy, political theory, and politics. In the past, or politics, American politics, Middle East politics, European politics, it's a lot. But you can study, and maybe you can get more interest. But here, maybe you don't take Middle East politics or European politics, you don't have area studies. So these things, you won't get the chances to study these other topics or politics. But instead of it, you can study like art, literature, astronomy, science, and you can get wider perspective. If you study these other topics of politics, you can get deeper knowledge, I guess. But same time, your perspective is going to be just very one type, and it's not very flexible, I guess. So it depends on personality, I guess, because I can still study about these European politics, the Middle East politics by myself. But if I'm lazy, I won't. So
okay, tell me, what are your goals from being here?
What are my goals?
From being here. Okay. Like, what do you hope to achieve from being here?
By using this experience?
Yes. You mean,
okay.
Or from being in the United States overall.
Okay. Well, one thing, so like, well, the communication style that American using, it's very useful whenever you go to other places. And that way, because I'm going to UK, so I need to get used to the life there. But I don't think it's going to be a problem to talk with people anymore. That's one of my goals, at least to have a friend. Yeah, and now I'm more creative than before, I guess, because of these liberal arts studies. So I wanna utilize those ideas into my deeper master research and get better result. So yeah, that's my goal.
Before I ask you a few more questions, let's start talking about things that you have accomplished during your time here in the U.S. or okay. on campus, you know?
Okay.
Tell me, what have you done so far that stands out, you know?
So one thing is, so when I came here, I just published my peace working video on campus. Maybe that's outstanding, I believe. And, well, I've done summer research, which is a very professional research, and I've researched about Israel and Palestinian conflict. It was pretty much tough work, but I've done it, and now I can write down in resumes. And I was selected as top 100 student leader on campus, and invited the invitation-only event on February with collaboration of UMD and UWS. And so these are 200 students from each 100 top leaders come to the event. And a lot of entrepreneurs and local business leaders and NGOs, they come to the event, and it's really a socializing event, and it's cool. Possibly, I'll be speaking in graduation, but I'm not sure. And then, so I'm currently being the treasurer of IPSA, International Peace Study Association, and president of WSA. And this is, I think, biggest for me, because currently I'm committing to these things.
Do you think these experiences benefited you or made you grow as a person or anything?
Yeah, both, I guess, for growing myself up. So I put my focus on present things. So every time I am the one making decision. The same time, we have multiple members in the board and we need to make a decision. But we all from different countries and we all have a different personalities. Maybe somebody just gives opinion, somebody needs to consider it before gives opinion. Somebody just do it and somebody just don't say anything. But for me, like, I need to reflect everybody's opinion and make it fair. Same time, need to make a result. And of course, somebody is just pretty experienced and they know a lot, so we need to rely on him or her. But still, I don't want to be relying on just one person for making everything going on. So that one thing I learned, how to manage and how to be a leader, how to have a leadership. So I started not hesitating to communicate with people and going anywhere to talk to anybody in a member and at least have a bit of opinion and reflect it to the decision making. But same time, I'm the one making decisions, so I don't want to corrupt these rules. So same time, we need to have a common vision for the group. So for beneficial things, I can write down a resume. For applying the master's school, of course, I write down and I added my present part in my academic statement. And it means I have leadership. It means I have communication. It means I can manage project and development studies of my master's school needs project management skill as well, leadership as well. So it was very beneficial for me to persuade them that I am good enough to study in that school.
Okay. President Donald Trump issued executive orders this year temporarily barring citizens from Muslim-majority nations from entering the U.S. President Trump, heard here on CNN at a rally in Nashville, said the orders are necessary for U.S. security.
So here's the statute, which they don't even want to quote when they overrule it. And it was put here for the security of our country. And this goes beyond me because there'll be other presidents. And we need this. And sometimes we need it very badly for security of our country. It says, now listen to easy, how easy this is. Whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or any class of aliens would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation, and for such period as he, you see, it wasn't politically correct because they should have said he or she. You know, today they'd say that. But that's all. Actually, that's the only mistake they made. As he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. In other words, if he thinks there's danger out there, he or she, whoever is president, can say, I'm sorry, folks, not now, please. We got enough problems.
Of course, I'm guessing since you're a political science major, mm-hmm. you follow up on politics and because you're into, you know, journalism and stuff. Mm-hmm. So tell me, what do you think about the new executive orders?
Oh, you're specifically focusing on the banning?
Yeah.
Okay. It's out of question for me. Like, how he's conducting politics is like a monarchy. But like, it's a presidency and he has a right to do it. And he's following the process. And now somebody who's really in higher position was against it. And he fired her. So it's Still, but that's right. The president can do, and it's the system, United States. So I guess it's still working as a system, political system. But I personally see these things as jeopardizing his term. I believe he's not gonna keep for 4 years, personally, because politics is about people, and. One thing is more than half of people actually supported Clinton. And the other thing is there are huge protests against Trump's doing things, especially making walls and sanctuary cities and banning of immigration. But these things just put fire on people. And the protests will never end. And of course, it's democracy, democratic country. If people keep protesting, and I believe they will, he can't stop it. And I think he's gonna resign or forced into resignation of president. That's my perspective.
Okay, do you think there is a more peaceful way to make some things like this, or do you think this issues like this could be solved in a more peaceful way?
Oh, for just now, because Trump is president and he has every right to do, every power. And I think his belief is making the United States great again. And I think it's more like economically he's approaching. He won't stop it, I guess. So peaceful solution, if there could be a peaceful solution, then there could be some peaceful way for economic growing. So for example, like not using oil. And then what should we use? Renewable energy, but it's not good enough for now. But if it's good enough, then it's good enough to persuade him to change his policy. So if there's a peaceful way, that's the one. But it's hard. Yeah.
Tell me, what do your friends or family think about this bending rule?
My family, it's just because we are not from these countries. Maybe it's just because Japanese, typical type. We care, but we actually not really into politics usually, because 65% of the daily news is about gossip and celebrities, and less than 20 is about politics.
That's back in Japan?
Yeah.
Okay.
In average in the world, politics usually more than half, or at least 40, but less than 20 is actually very bad. So people actually not really having opinion about the politics. So voting rate is really low. So combining with this fact, my family just see it as the bad policy. But same time, don't do anything. Just looking at.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking the time and speaking with me today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Not From Around Here, a special series of one-hour programs featuring interviews with international students in the Twin Ports. You can hear this program again online at wpr.org/notfromaroundhere. This program is a collaboration between the University of Wisconsin-Superior and Wisconsin Public Radio. Tune in next Monday evening at 7 for another installment of Not From Around Here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Next week, we hear from Alvaro Velasquez from Peru. I'm Olivia Shalabi, and thanks for listening. Name.